what I like to call a landing of the plains morning, and where that phrase comes from is, if you want to tell somebody about planes and have somebody be able to put their trust in planes, you could start with showing them engineering schematics and diagrams about wind flow and air pressure and how that gives an upward thrust and that keeps, or that might go right over your head and you might just want to take them to the airport and watch planes take off and watch them land. And watch the people who trusted himself to the planes take off and land. And have them be able to say, yeah, I trusted myself to the plane and it delivered me exactly where it said it would. And so this morning we have testimonies of some people who have ridden God's plane, who have trusted himself to him, and tell a little bit about their journey. Be God's witnesses, as God says, to be his witnesses. People that have already had the primer coat of salvation on there, if you will, and the painting that God has, the painting analogies, it seems a little forced now, doesn't it? I'm taking it too far. But when God chose to reveal himself to us, he didn't send down a bunch of schematics and things like that, but through a story. He revealed himself through a story, through the creation story, and then Adam and Eve became first part of that story, and many more people became part of that story, and Jesus, you know, was the central figure of that story. And yet each part of us are part of that story as well. That we're, you know, history is his story, and you're a part of history and a part of his story. And so we have three chapters from that story for you this morning, and I've asked them to come and share a little bit. We're going to start with Natalie. Over here. And she may mention this, but if she doesn't, I know that Natalie is going to be leaving us for a little while, not too long, going over to Israel. And well, why I've got to give testimony before you go. And so the microphone is Natalie. Let's give a warm welcome to Natalie.
So when Cal asked me to give a testimony, I was like, what should I, you know, I have no idea what I'm going to say, but then I started thinking, well, there's a lot to say, really, because testimony for God goes way back to the beginning of creation, and the Bible testifies about how God created everything, and it was good, and how just all throughout history, you can just see God's faithfulness and his goodness. And even thinking about when he first led Abraham to the promised land and earth, that kind of is not Canaan. How do you say it in English?
Canaan.
Okay. And just how he was faithful and He made promises that that we've seen, that we've been able to see come true or come to fulfillment through Jesus. And just so, I mean, there's countless things throughout history that have been pointing us to God. So I was like, oh man, my life is so small, so obscure, like, you know, it's just like this tiny little piece, but it's true, like we're all a part of God's story and proclaiming his faithfulness and his goodness. So back in August of 1988, I came to be on this earth. along with probably a lot of other people, but and my family is rooted in the Catholic tradition. So from when I was really young, I was baptized, and I really didn't see the significance of it at the time. But now I can understand, like, my parents were proclaiming, like, that I was set apart from, like, a very early age. They were proclaiming that to God, and I just thought that realization was pretty cool. And I actually, just fast forward, when I was in Texas, I got rebaptized when I was probably 17 or 18, one of those ages. But so backing up, I just wanted to kind of, probably around the age of like 14 is when I first started seeking out God, I guess, and he proved faithful in bringing me a lot of different people that helped point me to him, and just seeing all the different, like, I could have never imagined when I was 14 that I'd be like where I am right now, and I've seen a lot of amazing things and also experienced a lot of hardships but I think in those times that's the best place to be in sometimes, because that's when you really can rely and trust on God and to be there, and you really like learn to know him and like who he is and how faithful he is and good, and so I think that from there I decided to go on and learn more about learn more teaching about the Bible and stuff. I went to Texas and for a year and met a lot of amazing people who continued to point me to him, and just to meet different people and to see all the different kinds of ways people worship, like things that are different about God's family, I guess, because there's just so many different people coming from all over that came to that internship, and just as I've like traveled around the world, like you really opens your eyes to see like all the different ways that what people tell or proclaim is faithfulness, and yeah, I guess I don't know where I was going. but I guess what I really come to rely on is the way that God is a shepherd, and how he doesn't sit you down like in a very like, you know, like he doesn't bring you to Hawaii and like, you know, everything's all good, but he leads you every day, and I think that's something that's a big life lesson that I've learned, is that every day you need the shepherd, and you know, you're not going to make it without him, and so, yeah. Keep going?
Oh, no, just smiling.
I think, I was gonna briefly say something, I guess, a teaching moment too. It's the month of Elul in Hebrew, and I guess that kind of, I wanted to somehow bring that into my testimony too. Like, it's a period of time right before the high holy days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is the new year and the Day of Atonement, and Elul is like a time in the Jewish calendar, like, it's called Teshuvah, or we say repentance, and it's the whole month is like focused and dedicated to turning to God and to returning to God, and I just think that's been a huge blessing to me as I've reflected and thinking about what I was going to say today, reflected on where I was and where I've come, and just the different ways that I can turn or like turn my life over to God, and different areas like where I'm weak and that I just need to turn to God and ask for his forgiveness, and we know that on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, that we already have, we already know what what the judgment is, and I'm just thankful for that, and for us, for Jesus who made sure of that. So, I'll turn it back over to you now.
Okay. And hopefully you can see how when his story becomes your story, there's probably parts of your life that match up with what she said, and especially talk about painful times, you know, those could be some of the best times, because that's when God, we're being shaped and being chiseled and being made more into his son's image. And I love that, you know, she's going over to Israel, and she's become immersed really in some Jewish culture, so much that, what you're trying to say, how do you say it in English? I forgot how you said it back in English, because I'm used to saying it in Hebrew. And I think when we draw closer to God and to his kingdom, we can more and more, the things of this world seem more foreign to us than God's kingdom. Next, Andrew. I always like to have, when we do this, to have somebody younger come, like, now that I said, I couldn't imagine when I was 14 or 15, you know, where I'd be today. Well, now we bring up somebody who is 15. And I think of my own life where I had very little church upbringing, you know, through my high school ages. And I'm so, when I see the young people here, whether it's a youth center or a church, that have such a good start, and they're so encouraging to me. Couldn't be more proud of this guy, so I'll turn it over to Andrew. Let's give him a welcome.
Okay. First of all, I think my faith in God has just helped me in anything I do, like in all areas of my life, especially with like keeping moral standards and peer pressure and stuff like that. I always think that I want to be a good example to people because I like to keep the mindset that there's somebody that's like at a crossroads in their life or on the fence about something. And I think that if I can be that positive influence to help them get through that, even if I don't really know who it is, that's what I want to be able to do. There's a lot of things in my life that have peer pressure in it. But one example is bad language. And when I was younger, it was a lot easier for me to like, avoid it. You know, parents can shelter you, and it's not really in schools and stuff like that. But when you get in middle school and high school, it's a lot harder, and you're going to be exposed to it. Obviously, I got exposed to that, and so when the conversation turns into that direction, it's hard not to become like part of the crowd of that, and that part of the conversation. But I try to think that like Jesus is also part of the crowd, and we don't want to disappoint him, obviously. So that has definitely helped me with peer pressure in all areas. Last year. I broke my leg last February, I guess. And when I first broke my leg, I thought this was the worst thing that could possibly happen. I was going to miss almost half the basketball season. And that was just, I was really down. But then, as I started my recovery, I had a lot of time on my hands. And I was able to really build a lot of relationships that I really wouldn't have been able to do otherwise if I was doing basketball all the time, and I was also able to get into the Bible a lot more as well. As well as with breaking my leg, I gained a lot of perspective on my life and realized how blessed I am to be in a great family and stuff like that. And it also helped me to be able to notice others that are hurting. It was weird, like, when I started going around in crutches to different places, like, it would be really easy for me to notice, like, if there's somebody else who, you know, had crutches or something like that, and help me to really be compassionate for them and stuff. In the past, I have definitely struggled with every day being in the Bible and staying in God's Word. Lately, I've been doing better, but with school coming up, there's a lot of things taking up my time and attention. And I'll definitely have to be intentional to continue to stay in the Word. And now I've just shared this with everybody here, so I have a room full of accountability partners. So thank you for listening.
All right, hold them to it. Thanks, Drew. A woman who's been brought into our church family, and we've been blessed to know over this last little bit, is Kathy Quinn, and I won't steal any of her thunder, but you know, some of the difficulties she's had recently, but probably not all of them, and so ask her to come and share with us this morning as well. So let's welcome Kathy.
We went to church on special occasions, like Christmas and Easter, okay? And I never felt like I was getting what I needed, spiritually. But my husband was very staunch and wanted to continue going to Catholic church, so I never pursued anything else. When I was on vacation in 2009, I went to visit my sister in North Carolina, and I went to her church with her. And I heard her pastor give a talk. And when I was a practicing Catholic, I mean, I believed in God my whole life. But I believed that you had to, like, do good works, and you kind of had to, like, earn your way into heaven by doing good works. And there was always this nagging feeling in the back of my mind that I wasn't doing enough. You know, I didn't have any confidence that I would go to heaven when I passed away. And I went to the church with my sister. And I heard this man, and I'll never forget him, his name was Chris Payne, and he gave a talk about salvation. And I was three or four rows back, and during his talk, he talked, if you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, and you honestly believe that with all your heart, you are going to be saved, and you are going to heaven. And you didn't have to worry about it. And at the end of his talk, he said, okay, let's all bow our heads in prayer. But if you had been saved, would you look up and look me in the eye? So I looked him right in the eye while he was praying. And at the end of that service, I went up to him. And I said, you know, I live in Michigan. And I believe that there was a reason I was meant to be here today so I could hear what you said. And I said, my life will never be the same because of what I heard you say. And I want to thank you. And I said, I'm going to go home to Michigan, and I'm going to find a church that makes me feel the way I felt today. So I came home, got off the airplane, told my husband what happened. He goes, oh boy, here we go again. Okay. He again wanted me to try out the Catholic church, so I did. We went there for a few weeks, and at the end of a few weeks, I said to him, you know what I love about that church? He said, what? I said, I love the children's choir. But I wasn't feeling it. About that time, my son-in-law got very sick and went in the hospital, and the pastor of the church that he belonged to came to visit him. And I had several conversations with that pastor. And as a result of those conversations, I said to my husband, by myself, you don't have to go with me. I'm not pressuring you. This is just about me. I'm going to start going to this church. So I started going to Oak Point Church in Novi. And the minute I walked in there, I felt the way I did in North Carolina. I knew that I had found a church home. I went by myself for 3 or 4 months, and at the end of 4 months, my husband said, I want to go with you, which was kind of the answer to a prayer that I had. So he's gone with me every week since. This was in 2009. In 2009, my niece wrote on her Facebook page a quote, and it said, if you seek me, you shall find me and be satisfied. Let me displace worry at the center of your being, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope for the future. Well, I just love that, and I called her, and I go, where did that come from? And she told me that it was in the Bible, where it was. Well, after my niece told me that, I looked it up. And it's so funny because I started seeing it everywhere. I went to the Salvation Army, and I'm walking through the store, and there's a beautiful lavender plaque with that quote on it. That quote is on your floor over here, okay? Which I saw the first time I came here. In May, I had bought this book called Jesus Calling, which my sister recommended. And every day, you read a devotional. And I started in May. I didn't go back to January. And one night, I had some extra time. So I decided I was going to page back and read January through May. Guess what? January 1st was that verse. Things started happening to my husband and I in 2010, which were pretty terrible. His company, where he was so happy, closed its doors. My husband had a stroke. Jesus has sent people into my life in the last 3 years to help me wherever I'm at. When my husband had a stroke, it was in February, anybody that knows me knows I don't like to drive at night. I don't drive at night. And he was in the hospital. I had to drive home to get, they diagnosed him with a stroke and admitted him. I had to go home and get stuff so that I could come back and stay with him. It was a blizzard. Cars were going offline before, there were cars in the ditch. It was terrible. I could see the hospital in the distance, but I went off the road. And I was sitting there, I couldn't get the car back on the road, and I was like crying my eyes out. And I'm like, okay, God, I remember reading the Bible about those fishermen in the boat, and the boat was rocking, and you helped them. I need your help. I need to get back to the hospital with my husband. The tears are falling. 5 minutes later, somebody pulls in behind me, comes to my window. It was a security guard that was going forward to that hospital. And man, I rolled down the window and I was just in tears. He not only helped me, he not only got my car out, he pulled right in front of me so that I could, because you couldn't see, it was a blizzard, and so that I could follow him into the hospital parking lot. And to me, he was like an angel. I just thought it was wonderful. Okay. After my husband had a stroke, a few months later, his company closed. He was pretty depressed after the stroke. And I was working part-time. And the doctor said to me, you need to be home with him. It would help him if you're home. So I quit my job, which I loved my job, but I was needed at home. And we started having a lot of problems. We had a lot of financial problems. Things were very, very difficult. We were losing our home. My husband was in nowhere as good a shape as he is today. And I personally could not have gotten through the last couple years if it hadn't been for the people and the relationships that I made in Hope Point Church. God sent that pastor in my life to help me through some real difficult times. And after my husband's stroke, I remember we were sitting on the couch and he said to me, everything is falling apart in our life. I don't know how we're going to handle it. And I said to him, you know what? I don't know how we're going to handle it either, but I am telling you something. We are going to handle it. We're going to get through this. God has a plan for us, and we're going to get through it. And when I joined Oak Point Church, I had been baptized as a baby, as a Catholic. But when I joined Oak Point Church, I was baptized again because because I wanted to do it as an adult. Well, after my husband had a stroke, and he'd been going to church with me for a couple of years, they had another baptism there. And my husband said, he had no intention of being baptized again. We were sitting there, we were doing the baptism, and all of a sudden he stood up and he said, I want to do this. And he was baptized again. It was one of the happiest moments of my life. And like I said, we didn't know financially what we were going to do because we were losing our home. At that time, my son had asked us, when he knew how bad things were, he had asked Ty and I to come and live with him. They had a house that was real adequate for their three children, but they were willing to take us in. And we were going to displace one of the kids from the bedrooms, and we were going to live in a bedroom there. A couple days after my husband was baptized, I got an envelope in the mail. I had retired from General Motors like 12 years ago. And I got an envelope in the mail, totally out of the blue, had no idea. And the envelope offered me a lump sum settlement to buy out my pension. And with that amount of money that they gave us, instead of moving into a bedroom at David and Mitchie's house, we were able to build a 740 square foot addition on the back of their house and not have to go into any more debt to do it. And it was just an answer to a prayer. And every single step, we've had so many things happen to us in the last 3 years. There's been so many problems. And every time something happens, I just pray. Prayer's become a really big part of my life. I love that book, Jesus Calm. And I have one of these minds. My mind is never quiet. And one of the things I've really been trying to do, and I'm not really good at it, they say if you just spend, 15 minutes a day being quiet and just, praying and thinking about Jesus and the Bible. And I'm upset at myself because I'll start doing that every single day, and then the next thing I know, I'm thinking about something else. And I just don't seem to be able to stick with it. And this morning I was laying in bed before I got up, and I was trying to have my quiet time, and my mind kept wandering. And I was kind of berating myself, come on, Kathy, you can do this. You're not asking 10 minutes. Well, then I got up, and when I get up in the morning, I read my Jesus Calling. And it's like, God talks to me all the time. He talks to me through other people all the time. Guess what Jesus Calling was about today? It says, if you're having problems with your quiet time, you don't have to berate yourself. It said, pull yourself back by saying my name. And when you say my name, pull you back to me. And I'm like, wow, So I truly believe that we are not alone. I hope that I live a very long life. I would love to see my grandchildren grow up. I'd love to see my grandchildren get married. But I'm not afraid of dying anymore because I know that whatever happens, when my life is over, I'm going to be with Jesus, and I'm going to be with my mom and dad. I don't have the fear that I'm staying. And I just would like to say that if I have trouble at night, if I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm feeling a little anxious, the first thing I do is I say the Lord's Prayer, and the next thing I do is say Jeremiah 29:11. And I am so thankful for the strength and the peace that my faith gives me. I don't feel alone anymore.
I wasn't sure you were going to share this, but Ted has got really good medical news recently.
Hallelujah.
Did you want to
got through December 22nd, and I had my first surgery and started getting sick in January. So I've been pretty ill for the last 6 months. I've gotten all my test results back. They were looking for stomach cancer. They didn't find it. And I have a clean bill of health now. The only thing I now have to deal with, they said probably for the next 3 or 4 months, I will be on a medication called Coumadin because I developed blood clots in both arms. But my prognosis is excellent. And I only have to see the surgeon Thursday. That's my last visit with him. Never have to see him again. And my prognosis is excellent.
Different people and different circumstances, different stages of life, different everything, and yet the same God cares for them. The same God meets their needs where they're at. The same God is not just powerful, but personal in their lives. And as many people as are here, we could probably bring up and see how that same God works in powerful and personal ways. In all of our lives. Two things that Natalie and Kathy brought up about being baptized babies and then baptized again. I forgot to bring this up during an announcement about the baptism that we're going to be having coming up, not this Saturday, but the following, a week from Saturday, baptism. So if that's a step that you haven't taken, where you've trusted Jesus for your salvation, but having made a public declaration of your faith with baptism, or if you're baptized, as a baby or at a very young age and would like to have that declaration made for yourself, come talk to me about that, and we'll, about being baptized in a week and 6 days. Okay, if we can have the worship team come back up front, we are going to... I think an appropriate response to you're hearing how God has worked is to in worship and praise. So let's stand together as we worship Him.